You see our scripture reading posted this morning, and this is the English Standard Version. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you know that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
I hope if you've got your Bible open to Hebrews chapter 10, you'll stay there for a moment or two. If you don't have your Bible opened, I urge you to do that. If you have a device with a Bible app on it, feel free to use that. We are glad that you're using the Bible in whatever format you may have. But I'll begin by talking about a program that you may have seen on television called American Ninja Warrior. It's not my kind of program. I have seen a little bit of it here and there, but it is intriguing. It is what we would call an obstacle course. And every week there are certain contestants that have prepared themselves for years sometimes. And their job is to go through all of these obstacles, and they are quite bizarre. And it demands somebody that is strong, that is agile, that is mentally tough and focused. It's hard. It's been on the air since 2009 here in the U.S. I think it started out in Japan. And in all of those years since 2009, there have only been two that have completed the course, according to what I read yesterday as I was finalizing preparation. And that just shows this is tough. I mean, it's really, really hard to get through this course, but the rewards are pretty high if you are able to do that. Well, I use that as an illustration of what we're talking about today. And again, it's based on Hebrews 10 and plenty of other passages like it, because the idea there is that Christians who are in the course may fall short. I mean, a lot of these contestants that you'll watch, they make it quite a way, but they fail to get to the very end. They don't make it. They fall short of the goal. And listen again to what the writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Now remember, this writer is writing to Christians. They are followers of Christ, but they are on the verge of giving it up. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So obviously, here are people that are on the path. They have made the decision. They're going to follow Jesus. And to go along with the theme that we've been using in 2017, they are living the faith life. You know all those bumper stickers and decals that you see on cars that say salt life? Now I'm seeing mountain life quite a bit, and I think I'll go with that one of those. But that's the idea. You know, I'm thinking about it. I want to be there. I'm not there, but I want to be there. And so it's in my thoughts a lot. Wouldn't it be great if we all had decals on our lives that let people know, hey, there's somebody that's living the faith life. They don't have to shout it. They don't have to write you a note and say, this is what I am. You see it when you look at their life. And that's living the faith life. But as we close this series of lessons for the year, let's realize there is the danger that we might fall short. I don't know if you noticed in the song that we sang before the Lord's Supper, O Sacred Head, which is probably the oldest hymn in our book, the oldest hymn that we sing usually. And yet it said there, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee. And that's the idea of this lesson. It's great that we're walking in the life of faith right now, but let's realize it might change if we let it, and we might fall short. Let's look first of all at the danger of falling short. And we'll start in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Now, this isn't really about the idea that we're talking about, but the phrase that we're looking at is right here. Romans 3, verse 23. And you may remember that Paul here was talking about how everybody is in need of salvation. Everyone that has lived long enough to know the difference between right and wrong, we all are guilty of sin. And he says that in Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm really thinking about that phrase there, fall short. In the Greek, it is the word hystereo. And it has this definition that I found in several different lexicons, concordances. It says to arrive late. Have you ever done that? Have you ever arrived late? And you know the feeling, maybe it's late enough that you can't get in. I mean, the event has begun, and now you can't get in. The door is locked. That would be the idea. Or to fall short. That's the basic meaning of this word in the Greek, and that's what Paul used there in Romans 3:23. Now, that's the only time in the English Standard Version the phrase fall short appears, but there's 16 occurrences of the word that are translated in other ways. And that's what I want us to look at now, because it shows that our faith can fall short. Let's go to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin in verse 14 in a moment. You know, of course, I believe this is where the parable of the prodigal son is found. That young man that grew tired of living on the farm. And so he said to his father one day, I want my inheritance. And inheritance normally doesn't come until the father or the one that has it has died. So you might say, in a way, he was wishing his father was dead. I don't know if we could really go that far, but essentially that's what he's saying. I'd rather have the money than to have you. And so he got his inheritance. He went away. He lived a very bad life, we would say. He lived it in terrible ways. And now Jesus makes this point in verse 14. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And that word there, in need, is a translation of the same root word that we're looking at, fall short. And we know that idea, don't we? Have there ever been times in your life where the end of the month goes further than your paycheck? Where we come up short in our finances and we really have a struggle making ends meet? Well, that's kind of what it's saying. But in this case, it was severe. He was starving to death. He had to take a job that no respectable Jew would ever take, feeding pigs in order to have something to eat. And even that wasn't enough. He got to where he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. And so that's the idea. He came up short. He was in a real crisis. But why did that happen? And this speaks to the problem of why we might fall short in our walk of faith. Well, if you just think about it, well, part of it, he's spending his money foolishly. But the real problem was, he turned his back on his father. He separated himself from his father. Here he was in a far country, Jesus had said, and now there's no help available. Because remember later in this parable, in verse 31, when the father was talking to the older brother, he made this point. And think about this. He said, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. If you are with me, you will not come up short, in other words. If the prodigal had stayed at home, yeah, he might have run short of money, but he would never have been in this circumstance that he was in that far country. And doesn't that speak to us as well. If we ever allow distance to come between us and God, we are in danger of our faith falling short. There will come a time when we will not have what we need and we won't know where to turn because we've forgotten about God. And so there's a reason why some come up short in their faith is because they've put distance between themselves and God. And you may actually be attending worship regularly and still have distance between you and God. You see, it's a problem, and we deceive ourselves if we think, well, I'm still coming to church, you know, I'm still taking the Lord's Supper, but are you close to the Lord? Because those who allow a great distance to develop between them and God, they are in danger of falling short. But let's go to another passage. Go to Mark chapter 10, and we'll see another incident where this same word in the Greek is used. And again, it tells us why we might fall short in our quest for the prize of heaven. Mark chapter 10, and here we read about this young ruler, the rich young ruler we call him, that came up to Jesus, and he had a wonderful question. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question. Excellent. And so Jesus said, "Well, you know the law," and he named several of the Ten Commandments. And he said, "Well, I've done all those. What do I still lack?" And he felt like something was missing. "Lord, just tell me I'm okay. That's what I want to hear. Tell me I'm okay." But notice what Jesus says in verse 21. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And that word lack is again a translation of that same word that we're looking at in the Greek, fall short. You have fallen short in your faith in one thing. And what was that? Your love of money. That's obviously what Jesus is saying. Go, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And you might say, well, he had a good point. I mean, the man walked away, sure, because he would have been a pauper then. Do you think? Do you think Jesus would have let that continue? I mean, totally without anything? If you go a little further in that same passage, look at verses 29 and 30, and tell me this man would have been a beggar for the rest of his life if he had done what Jesus said. 29 and 30 of Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold, 100 times now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." In other words, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be without. Now, you may not have everything that you had before. You may not have riches in the way that the world considers, but you will always have an abundance of blessings if you follow me and leave whatever you have to leave. But this young man wouldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. He fell short. That's what Jesus said. There is one thing you lack. You fell short. And what does that say to us? It says that if we fail to totally submit to the Lord, if we fail to totally submit to the Lord, we are in danger as well of falling short. And what do I mean by that? Well, you may say, well, I'm doing almost everything, and I know there's one thing here, maybe two or three things in my life I ought to be doing differently, but hey, 95%, that's good. I think anybody would agree with that. The idea is, are we willing to give anything that the Lord asks? Are we willing to release it if that's what the Lord wants us to do? Total submission. And here was one man that would not do that, and he went away lacking. He fell short. Will that describe us in our walk of faith? And then look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and look at verse 18 and on into verse 1 of chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3. Actually, let's look at verse 1 in chapter 4 first of all, and then we'll go back and look at the fuller context. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. To have failed to reach it. And again, there's that same Greek word translated differently, but again, it's the simple idea of coming up short. We're not there yet. We're not where we want to be. And so, again, you see, the idea is we're Christians. Isn't that enough? The writer here says no. And let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18, and pick up the fuller context. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? He's talking about the Israelites, those that came out of Egypt, and that entire older generation, they didn't get to enter. Only Caleb and Joshua, out of all those, were able to enter into the promised land. And why not? Why did they come up short? I mean, they got close. They were within sight of the promised land. He says it's because they were disobedient. Verse 19. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And again, the idea is, I don't believe God enough that I would obey him in anything. Oh, I believe God when he tells me this and that. But there's that one thing. I just don't think God is serious about that. I think God will overlook that. That's the very problem he's talking about. If we do not obey the Lord, if we do not believe the Lord, we're going to come up short, just like these people did. And that's the point the writer was making. And so the idea for us is, if we are not careful about living our faith, if we're not careful about living our faith, we are in danger of falling short. And when I say careful, I mean like filling out your tax return. Are you careful about that? There may be some in here that aren't, but most of us recognize the importance of being very careful. I mean, check the right box, put in the right amount, because if we don't, there could be serious consequences. That's the kind of careful that we're to have, not because we're dealing with a stern God that will not, you know, overlook any mistake, but that's how intent we are. That's how much we want to be with him forever. And so I want to know, what does the Lord want from me? I'm going to try my best to do that. I'm going to give it 100%. I'll be careful in living my faith. And then there's one other passage I want us to look at as we scan these words that are translated differently, but they all mean the same, falling short. And that's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Hebrews 12 and verse 15, and the writer there makes a very simple statement at the beginning of that verse. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Of God and fail to obtain it. Again, that's the idea of coming up short. We're arriving late. We're a dollar short. We're not going to have it because we came up short. And remember here, when he's writing to these people, he's not writing to atheists or agnostics. He's writing to Christians, people that have some degree of faith. But is their faith strong enough? Is their faith healthy? Because we've been doing something to make it healthy, to keep it strong. We are following the plan of God. And that's what will make all the difference. There's another simple statement in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, very much like the one we just read. This time it doesn't have that Greek word in it, but the idea is very much the same. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now the point is, we've all received the grace of God. We have an opportunity to be something we are not, to go somewhere we cannot go on our own. We have a marvelous opportunity, but we have squandered it. if we don't follow his lead. It brings to mind the story that many of you are familiar with about Lynn Bias, the fellow that is pictured here on the screen right now. Lynn Bias died on June 19th, 1986, 2 days after being the second one drafted in the NBA draft. And there are many that call him the greatest one, the greatest basketball player to have never played on the professional level. Red Auerbach, who was the coach of the Celtics at that time, said afterward, he said, "I waited 3 years to draft that fella. He was that good." And yet what happened? The night after he was drafted, he and some friends got together. They were using cocaine. He evidently had a reaction. Something happened. They could not resuscitate him. What a waste. I mean, what a shame. He had that future ahead of him. He had money. He had fame. And yet he squandered the opportunity. But how much greater will it be for us? Because God has drafted each one of us, you might say. He has said, "I want you to come and be a part of my kingdom. I want you to participate with me throughout eternity." And we have that opportunity. Jesus makes it possible. And yet, we're lax. We're not serious. Are we going to fall short? It's possible. And yet God doesn't want that to happen. That brings us to the next part of the lesson, and that is very simple. Aim for the finish line. Aim for the finish line. And when I say aim, I mean make that a focus in your mind. Make that your obsession, your ambition. I am going to make it to the finish line. Now, I had to look for some advice on runners, and you may understand, it's not me. This is not my area. But I did find this statement by somebody, Art Ives, who evidently is an expert when it comes to running. He's been a runner. He's been a coach. And the idea of persevering, enduring, that's the idea. And listen to what this article says. When a runner finds himself struggling with a physical discomfort that threatens to derail his mental focus during the race, in other words, you are extremely exhausted, you've got a cramp in your calf, whatever it may be, you're thinking, I just need to forget it and drop out. Then he says this, a runner only makes fine adjustments to his pace or form, and remember the old mantra, this too will pass. That sounds very biblical, doesn't it? This too shall pass. And it simply means that as we are running our marathon, as we're running this life in faith, we're going to have some cramps. We're going to have some times where we are exhausted. And yet we keep on pressing on, knowing that we will get through this. We're not running alone. We're running with God. And He will help us to endure and get through it. Let me give you some exhortations about this marathon that we're running. 2 Corinthians, again, if you're already there, great. Because we saw there just a moment ago, he said, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Go back a verse, which takes you back to the end of chapter 5, and look at what he says there in chapter 5, verse 21 of 2 Corinthians. For our sake, he, God the Father, made him, Jesus the Son, to be sin. Who knew no sin? Why would he do such a thing? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Did you catch all of that? I mean, that's a passage worth mulling over for a while. It says that God thought so highly of you and of me that he was willing to give his son as a sacrifice for that son to become sin so that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. And now he says, working together with him. Can we do this? I mean, this is a long race. I'm so tired. I've been discouraged. People have not done things I thought they should. I'm really just wondering, should I just forget about it? We are working together with Him. He has done so much for us. How could we drop out on Him? Go to Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Here's another exhortation along the same line. Acts 11, verse 23. We read about the people in Antioch. This is one of the great churches of the ancient world. One of the first places the gospel was preached, and people were just following in love with Jesus Christ. And so the apostles heard about it. They sent this fellow named Barnabas down there. And listen to what it says, Acts 11, verse 23. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. He was glad. And he exhorted them all. Here it is. Don't miss this. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. That's different from staying with it when you feel like it. When I'm in the right mood, because I'm not always in the right mood. Sometimes I don't have the right focus. And I say, well, I'm just going to lay out right now. I'm going to just relax and take it easy. And later, maybe I'll get back into it. Remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Purpose means you've given it a lot of thought. This is your plan. This is your ambition. It's your obsession. And I'm not going to let anything stop me, not even me, not even when I'm not feeling like it, because that's when I need to be in the house of the Lord most. That's when I need to be serving others most, is when I don't feel like it. So remain faithful with steadfast purpose. Make it a decision. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And then Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Galatians 6, verses 8 through 10. Now, we normally would talk about verse 9 because here again is that exhortation not to give up, not to fall short. He says in verse 9 of Galatians 6, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so there's the exhortation. Why do I include the other verses? Because the verse right before that and the verse right after that are talking about serving others. Look at it. Galatians 6. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. He sows to his own flesh and will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Then in verse 10, "So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Do you see the difference it makes to have a focus on others rather than our own flesh? Because we are acting like the Lord when we do that. We are making Him our model, our mentor. That's what we're going to do. And then it becomes easier not to grow weary of doing good because we're following the Lord's example. There's all kinds of exhortations like this throughout the New Testament because the Bible recognizes Christians grow weary and they want to quit. And we all know there are empty pews here that once were filled by Christians who are no longer following the Lord. How about your pew? Will it be filled until the day you're gone from this earth? I pray so. Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee. I hope that's the song that is in your heart and your determination today. Finishing our race will require a healthy faith. It will require a strong faith. And you know that kind of faith doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't. If you have a healthy, strong faith, it's because you're doing something to make it that way. And if you're doing nothing to strengthen your faith, you probably don't have that faith. But here's where we can say, I'm going to do differently. I'm going to have a change of heart. A change of mind. I will not fall short. Because once more, going back to that image we opened with, American Ninja Warrior, that course is difficult. It's that way on purpose. They designed it that way on purpose. Otherwise, they'd be having to pay a lot of people a lot of money, and the show would lose its appeal. If anybody could walk in and do it, that's nothing, you know. I could do that, and so we don't even watch it anymore. But they deliberately designed it to be difficult. Well, this life was not designed by God to be difficult. That's Satan putting all those obstacles in our path. And Satan, he's a pretty powerful being. What hope do I have against him? Romans 8. Let's close with this passage. Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. Romans 8, 31, 32. You know the first verse already. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who includes Satan? Who can be against us? Not even Satan. But then he goes on to say in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, who would that be? He who did not spare his own son, well, he's talking about God, of course. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And what that means is, we can do this if that's what we want to do. God will make sure we have the strength and the resources to make it through that obstacle course. And no, I'm not ever going to be a participant on American Ninja Warrior. May surprise some of you. But I am participating in a more challenging course called life. And do you really expect to be able to complete that, Tim? I mean, really? Absolutely. Because I have Christ on my side, and he has promised he will graciously give me whatever it takes to get me through. Do you have that kind of help available this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of the King of God? So simple to become a child of God. You know what it says in the New Testament. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe it enough that you would turn away from sin, repenting of it, confess him before anybody, beginning here and now, and then allow someone to bury you in baptism with Christ and be raised from the dead by God, the deadness of your sins by God, to walk in newness of life? That's simple. You could do it this morning. We pray you will. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Is your faith strong, healthy, or do you need help? Do you need to repent of sin as an erring child of God? Come, let's pray together for God's mercy. And if we can help in any other way, come while we stand and sing.